The reading this morning, we'll come over here, is Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and verses 17 to 25. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile of Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave the name Jesus.
Thanks, Tammy.
Notice we missed a few verses out there. That's fine. So, have you sorted out our conundrum? Which is it first, the crown, the cross, the cradle? Ooh. Oh, job done then, is it? Is it? So the crown's first. What comes next? Cross. Cross, cradle. Okay, so we're a little bit split then. We agree on the crown, but the cross, cradle comes. Interesting. Because we're going to have a look at that a little bit more. So the theme that I want to look at is this Christmas, as we enter into it now, is looking at perspective. Looking at perspective. Now, there's something I should confess to you, which is a little bit difficult. I like boys' toys now and then. Those boys amongst us like boys' toys, yes. And I've had a hankering after a drone. Have you seen these drones? Yeah, yeah. So I've gone and bought myself a little, what they call, nano drone. Not nanny drone, it's a nano drone. And it's a tiny little machine that's got a camera on it. And you can control it from your phone. Brilliant. I'd love to have demonstrated today, but it would have been dangerous, okay? Because I've crashed it a few times, and it's not a good idea to have an accident in church, is it? So drone. But have you seen these drones? Who's been watching Planet Earth? Yeah, hands up, Planet Earth. Been watching? Brilliant. It's been fantastic, hasn't it? And I don't know where you see at the end of the episodes, but they do, you know, it's how, they call it diaries, I think. How did they make this? And they've got all these cameras and gadgets and stuff, but I just love the drones. And they fly these drones over. I don't know how the wildlife just seems to take a blind bit of notice of them. You know, they must see them coming, but they sort of carry on doing what they're doing, killing each other and things like that. But you see these drones flying over, and the perspective you get is absolutely fantastic, isn't it? It really, really is. And it's not just, Planet Earth, I hope you as well have rejoiced in seeing that and just praising God through it, because it is just such an amazing series and such an insight into creation. Now, whether or not you're a creationist and you believe God made everything in 7 days, or you're an evolutionist or whatever, I don't really care, because it's God that has done it. It's God that has created these things. And it's just wonderful. And you can see drones, I like, as some of you know, like walking. and there's been some walking programs where they've taken a drone over the route that they've been walking, and you get this incredible perspective of the route, you know, what you're going to face and where you've come from, and it's absolutely brilliant. So this morning, I just want to take a little bit of time to look at what this perspective is for Christmas that we have. And I want you to get in, if you like, your drone, as it were, and just look down a bit on what Christmas is about, to remind us. Those of you that like walking, and as I know, there's a few here, and there will be, we do a Friends on Foot. We've got a little club that meets and walks every other month, and we welcome newcomers. But there's something about getting to a hill or a place where you can see where you have walked from and where you're walking to. Sometimes the sight of where you're walking to can be a bit off-putting, but other times it's good. So those of you that perhaps have mountaintop experiences, whether it's been on holiday or otherwise, and you can get these incredible views, and you can just see where you've come from and where you're going. So it's vital that we keep a perspective on Christmas, though, isn't it? To counter the slide that we all too easily fall into, which is very commercially driven. It's, you know, the parties, the decorations, the presents, the exhaustion. You know, all of those things can take up so much time, can't they? I'm not a killjoy. I'm not a killjoy, am I? No, not most of the time. I'm not a killjoy. But it's seriously, those things just preoccupy us, don't they? And we just get wrapped up with them. And yet we miss so much of Christmas if we allow that to happen. And it has to be said that Christmas, the Christ in Christmas, is really being driven out year after year after year. Kids can't have carol service. Things can't be done. And Christ is being moved. And it's almost we're returning to a pagan time, a pagan festival. So this importance of reclaiming the reason for the season, as we would say, Jesus coming, is so, so very important for us. And we're all involved in that. The real Christmas message goes far deeper. It answers the great questions that plague the human race at this hour. I looked up on the web. You know, I thought, I wonder how many wars are going on in the world at the moment. And I don't know how they get these stats together. And I can't validate them. But according to the internet last night, when I Googled it, there are currently 67 countries at war, involving 736 factions. Now, I don't think that's very far from the truth. We focus on Syria and we focus on areas that are getting a lot of media attention, but we fail to realise that there are countries all over the world that are involved in turmoil, upset, that people are getting killed. So this world needs so much the Christmas message. Because the Christmas message, it's relevant, it's revolutionary, and it's reassuring. So where do we start? Well, there's a slide up there. The universe. So, you know, God made, we believe that God created all things. And in this incredible universe that we're discovering more and more about, it's so big. And again, whether or not you're a creationist, a creative design or whatever, the fact is that God started all this. God started all this. And he has a vested interest in the way that it goes forward. In the creed, we state, don't we, that God is the maker of heaven and earth. And we believe in the triune God. In other words, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he is the pinnacle of all things. And you're right, isn't that where the crown starts? Because he is Lord over all things. And that's where the crown starts. Let me just move this on. And so in that massive solar system, the Milky Way and everything else, what do we find? Well, it distills to a focus of his attention on this tiny little globe, which is strategically placed between the sun to give us the warmth, to support the creation that we see on planet Earth, on everything. And his pinnacle of creation was you and me. It's a bit hard to look sometimes. look at myself and think, it can't be so, can it? And yet it is true that his center of his universe comes from the, you know, down through things to planet Earth, to you and me. And it's just amazing. And to step back at Christmas to realize that God takes delight in us. He loves his creation and the special relationship he longs for with mankind, for you and me. But we know that mankind made that wrong choice to start with. The God that loved us so much that he said, I will give you free will. You decide what you want to do. And we know from history that time and again, we've chosen our own way. So what did God do? He looked down on the world and saw the suffering and misery that sin had caused. And with pity, his heart was moved with compassion as the heavenly creator looked upon lost humanity. Mankind, bewildered and deceived, was moving on in a gloomy procession towards eternal ruin, to a death where there was no hope. The deception of sin reached its height. But in the midst of this, God steps in with a plan thought out at the outside of creation. Now, it's perhaps more natural in the time that we're going through now, that the world sees, we start with baby Jesus, and that's where it starts, isn't it? The world sees nativity as the cradle, and we want to focus on that. They're less so keen to focus on actually the cross, because that is not a pleasant thing. So the idea of thinking about the cradle and then the cross and then the crown as Jesus is resurrected, there's a certain chronology to it, isn't there? There's a certain church, sometimes we celebrate in our churches, that sort of pattern, the cradle, the cross, and the crown. But what did the reading tell us? Have you got the reading there, Tammy? Well, let me look it up. Can you just read out for us? Have a look at verses 21 to 23, if you would, Tammy. That's great. Thanks, Tammy. So the clues there that in this prophecy was that this birth, he will save his people from their sins. So this was predicted, that Jesus would come, that he would save his people from his sins. And then we read a bit later on, you would call him Emmanuel, God with us. That's the meaning of Jesus, God with us. And he will save his people from their sins. So what's the perspective I'm talking about? We've been doing a series in house groups over the last autumn about the kingdom of God. And I think it's such a fantastic subject. I would like to carry on doing it through next year as well. Because all the time, it brings us back to what the kingdom is about. And so often we lose sight of that. God's kingdom is massive. God's kingdom is on the increase, despite sometimes of what we see. And the fact is that his kingdom is expanding, and it's a kingdom agenda he has for his church and for his people. So what do we see in that? Well, we start with the crown, and we can see going down the right-hand side there in that circle that actually the cross occurred a long time ago because it was in God's planning. It wasn't something that was an afterthought. So when we go through the nativity, it wasn't the case that, well, things didn't go too well for Jesus, and so God made up things as he went along and said, well, the only way we're going to get out of this and I can reach my people is by putting him on the cross. No, this was thought out right at the beginning of creation. Because when God said, I will give you freedom, he knew the path that we would take, and he knew what he would have to do to bring us back. So my contention is actually the cross came twice in the God's plan and in the realization of that plan. So the agony that God went through at the very start in saying, I'm going to have to sacrifice my son. must have been terrible, but it was in his plan at the start that he would do this because he loved, he wanted to love his creation. He wanted the relationship with you and I. So the cross is so very important. So in God's plan, effectively, the crown represents the kingdom of God, as God is the supreme ruler of all things. And he had a plan to redeem mankind. Numerous prophecies in the Old Testament. And if you come along to the carol service tonight, which I hope everyone is, because we're going to have a really good sing, but we're also going to be reminded of the prophecies, the numerous prophecies that are way, way back, centuries and centuries ago, before Jesus, that predicted what was going to happen. And so we've also been looking at a study series, in-house groups, short series that John Martin really put together for us and has been really helpful, entitled They Said It Would Happen, and referring to some of the prophecies, particularly at Christmas, about Jesus. So the cross. God the Father planned that his son would die on the cross, not by chance, but it was a plan. He was the only child born to die in human history. God the Father going through the agony twice. Christmas, to have meaning, cannot be separated from the cross. The angel said at the birth of Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. And Jesus said, speaking just before his death, for this cause I was born. Again, he was the only person in history who was born with the purpose of dying. The Apostle Paul said years later that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so from the cradle, we look at the realization, because the cradle, I came across a phrase which I thought was quite apt. It's the genesis of Christianity, because here it is God is with us. God came and revealed himself physically at a particular time, in a particular place, with particular people, and stayed with us in bodily form for 30-odd years. And so the cradle is so very important. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The cradle in a lonely manger links Christ to those who live in the most deplorable of conditions. He came to set free. He came to bring justice. He became to come to the poor. He was born poor, and yet he was rich. He was born in a cradle, yet he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. He was born in a manger, but walked on gold streets at his heavenly home. And he gave up the wealth of heaven for you and for me. And so the cross. We have to look through the cradle to the cross, because that's why Jesus came. He was born under the shadow of the cross. In that shadow, he learned to walk, talk, live and die. The shadow of the cross was upon his cradle, in the room as he worked in a carpenter shop, on the scene where Judas betrayed him, on the ground below the cross. He was slandered, he sweat blood in the garden as he prayed. He was arrested, he was jailed, he was tortured, and he was executed in a most excruciating, painful method by the Romans. And upon the cross, the co-agent, all things good, died in our place. And the cross identifies him with our needs. And so we celebrate this morning this very simple but powerful message that as we take part in this, we celebrate his death because of what that means for us. And so we come to the crown. From the cradle to the cross to the crown speaks of conquering. He conquered death, hell and the grave. He conquered sickness, disease, poverty and sin. And as a spotless Lamb of God, he came to take away the lack and replace it with a more than enough. Is it wonder why we hail him as the matchless Redeemer and King of Kings? Is it any wonder that Christians understand, love and celebrate the true meaning of Christmas? If we grasp that, we can really celebrate, can we not? God reaches down. God reaches down to us at this time, and it's a reminder to us that the central message of Christmas is that Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection, can transform both individuals and society. I wonder if this Christmas, how you might reach down to someone else. How will you bless someone this Christmas, maybe family, your neighbours, at work? How will you bless them? Is there a way that God can show you how you can share Jesus with them? This is the promise of Christmas. This is our hope. This is the Christmas star that lights our darkness. This is the assurance that a new day is coming through the Messiah, whose name is called by Isaiah the prophet, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is God's gift of Christmas, the cradle, his son, the cross, his life, the crown, his coming kingdom. I just want to close with a passage from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself together with the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So what difference will this make to my Christmas? What difference will it make to your Christmas? Take this perspective. Pretend you're a drone. Look at your Christmas. What's it shaping up to be? Who are the people that you're going to be seeing? Our prayer should be, is what way can we impart this joy to the world, the message of hope that Jesus has? How can we do that together and individually this Christmas time? Because that's what God ultimately wants. That's the best gift we can ever give anyone. Put aside all the fripperies and the trivia, it's the gift of life that God offers. I don't know if anyone's here this morning that actually just need to be encouraged. And again, I just feel that there's someone with a burden here that they're to continue to carry. God says, this Christmas, let it go. Let it go. His son has taken that. God is looking to give you a new start. It may be that you've never really said, Jesus, I'll try you out. I'll trust you. And maybe it's this Christmas time he's asking you to do that. So be encouraged in your faith and let's celebrate Christmas together, having the kingdom of God perspective. Amen. And so, we're not done yet. Not done yet. You're not going yet. So we're just going to pray together. We're going to sing and then we're going to have a special ceremony. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for reminding us through our service today of the importance of the cross. And Lord, as we celebrate together, we move on to think about how you came on earth, how you came to be God with us. And Lord, we pray that through this Christmas period, we might be Jesus to someone else. Lord, through our words, through our action, through our prayers, may we lift your name and may we bring your message of hope to all we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing, From Heaven You Came, because that tells us more about why Jesus came. We stand to sing.